Welcome to Tardi Mechanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Adina Schmimmen. Thank you to each of you who contributed yesterday on Giving Tuesday. And if you didn't have a chance, it's not too late. Every contribution counts. Go to ouwomen.org/donate. And please save the date, February 15th at the Young Israel of Woodmere and February 18th in Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. ouwomen.org/cm26 for more information. And now for today's perek.
Welcome to Torah Timecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Stacey Nechama Goldman, and today we will be studying Sefer Nechemiah Perek Chet. This perek reintroduces Ezra, the scribe, to us for the first time since the end of his own Sefer. Where was he from the time Nechemiah came to Yerushalayim 13 years after Ezra's arrival? Clearly, Ezra was alive during the time Nechemiah served as governor of Jerusalem. Rabbi Yitzchak Breidowitz suggests that Ezra had retired as he was much older than Nechemiah. He came out of his retirement to participate in the monumental event described in our perek, the seemingly first public Torah reading in the land of Israel since the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. This took place on Rosh Hashanah, as we shall see. Perhaps Nechemiah, as the political leader, perceived that the completion of the walls allowed for Ezra, the religious leader, to reemerge in his role as teacher and spiritual guide. The first two psukim describe the excitement and gravity of the event. Ve'yesvu kol ha'am ki ish echad el ha'rachov asher lifnei shar ha'mayim. Ve'yomru le'Ezra ha'sofer le'avi et sefer Torat Moshe asher tziva Hashem et Yisrael. Now all the people gathered as one man to the square that was before the water gate, and they said to Ezra the scholar to bring the Torah, the scroll of the law of Moshe, which the Lord had commanded Israel. Ve'avi Ezra ha'kohen et ha'torah lifnei ha'kal mi'ish ve'ad isha v'chol mevin lishmoa b'yom echad l'chodesh ha'shvi'i. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both men and women, and all who could hear with understanding, on the first day of the seventh month. This sounds very similar to the mitzvah of Hakel, the 612th mitzvah in the Torah, as described in Devarim 31:10-12. At the end of every 7 years, at an appointed time in the festival of Sukkot, following the year of Shemitah, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God in the place he will choose, you shall read this Torah before all Israel in their ears. Assemble the people, the men, the women, the children. Although Nechemiah tells us this public reading is taking place on the first of Tishrei, which is Rosh Hashanah, not Sukkot, the parallels are clear. Rabbi Jonathan Sacks Zatzal describes the similarities in an essay on Parshat Nitzavim. In his words, the most famous Hakel-type ceremony was the national gathering convened by Ezra and Nechemiah after the second wave of returnees from Babylon, Nechemiah 8 through 10. Standing on a platform by one of the gates to the temple, Ezra read the Torah to the assembly, having positioned Levites throughout the crowd so that they could explain to the people what was being said. The ceremony that began on Rosh Hashanah culminated after Sukkot, when the people collectively bound themselves with a curse and an oath to follow the law of God given through Moses, the servant of God, and to obey carefully all the commands, regulations, and decrees of the Lord our God. Nechemiah 10:29. Malbim notes that the pasuk says simply that Ezra brought the Torah, translated as law, on Chabad.org, and not a Sefer Torah. He explains that using the word Torah alone implies a more inclusive understanding of the word. While he taught the simple text to both men and women, he was able to expand for all who could hear with understanding the oral law and its secrets. Ezra stood on a wooden platform flanked by important community members on either side. He opened the Torah and all the people stood. Pasuk Vav describes his opening bracha and the people's response. Ve'yavarech Ezra et Hashem Elokim Hagadol, ve'yanu kol ha'am amen amen, b'mo'al yedehem v'yikdu v'yishtachavu la'Hashem apayim artza. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, amen, amen, with the uplifting of their hands, and they bent their heads and prostrated themselves to the Lord on their faces to the ground. It is worth noting that this resembles the current practice of Ethiopian Jews who raise their hands in prayer. At the conclusion of this momentous public Torah reading, Nechemiah joins Ezra in Pesukim Tet and Yud to help the people properly process their emotional response. Vayomer Nechemiah hu hatirshata ve'Ezra hakohen hasofer ve'halevi'im hamivinim et ha'am lechol ha'am hayom kadoshu la'Hashem Elokechem al titablu ve'al tivku ki bochim kohayam kesham'am et divrei haTorah. Then Nehemiah, he is Hatershata, and Ezra, the priest, the scholar, and the Levites who caused the people to understand, said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Neither mourn nor weep." For all the people were weeping when they heard the words of the law. Vayomer lehem, lechu ichlu mashmanim ushtu mamtakim v'shalchu manot le'en nachon lo ki kadosh hayom la'adoneinu ve'al te'atzvu ki chadvat Hashem hi me'uschem. And he said to them, "Go eat fat foods and drink sweet drinks and send portions to whoever has nothing prepared, for the day is holy to our Lord. And do not be sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." From our current observance of Rosh Hashanah, it seems odd that Nehemiah would have to explicitly command them to eat. Did they think that Rosh Hashanah was a fast day? Malbim explains that they must have read the section of the Torah about Rosh Hashanah and internalized the seriousness of the Day of Judgment. The people's visceral response was to cry and fast. Nehemiah had to tell them to eat and be joyous, and to make sure those without food could also be included in the festivities. Celebrating in this way seemed highly counterintuitive to these uneducated Jews given the solemnity of the Day of Judgment. Malbim references a midrash in Yalkut Shimoni, which explains the uniqueness of the Jewish people's relationship with Rosh Hashanah. What nation is like this nation that knows the nature of her God? Usually, when a person must appear before the court, they wear black clothing, cover themselves in black, and let their hair grow and nails grow, for they do not know the outcome of the judgment. But not so Israel, who wear white clothing, wrap themselves in white, cut their hair and nails, and eat and drink and rejoice on Rosh Hashanah, knowing that the Holy One, blessed be He, does miracles for them and produces a favorable judgment for them, tearing up their decree of harsh judgment. The Midrash highlights the confusing aspect of our celebrations on Rosh Hashanah and the need for Ezra and Nehemiah to reprogram them, so to speak. Pasuk Yod Bet describes the 180-degree transformation that occurred as they realized how the Yom Tov should be celebrated. Ve'alchu kol ha'am le'achol ve'lishtot u'leshalach manot ve'la'asot simcha gdola ki hevinu ba'devrim asher hodiyu lehem. Then all the people went to eat and to drink and to send portions and to rejoice greatly, for they understood the words that they informed them of. Malbim notes that they not only enjoyed the Yom Tov themselves, but they also made sure those less fortunate were able to rejoice with gifts so they could all celebrate together. The next pasuk describes how they gathered around Ezra to learn more Torah on the second day. The commentaries agree that this refers to the second day of Rosh Hashanah. This troubles many poskim regarding the timing of the establishment of Rosh Hashanah as a 1 or 2 day holiday in the land of Israel. While everyone agrees it is a 2 day holiday outside the land, those who argue for 2 days even in Israel use our pasuk as a proof text. It reads, "Uvayom hasheni nesfu rashei haavot v'chol ha'am hakohanim v'levim al Ezra hasofer v'lehaskil et divrei haTorah." And on the second day, the heads of the fathers' houses of all the people, the priests and the Levites, gathered to Ezra the scholar and to understand the words of the Torah. The Shulchan Aruch codifies Rosh Hashanah as a 2 day holiday, even in Israel, in Orach Chaim 601. It is worth noting that Yom Kippur is not mentioned at all. Rabbi Breidowitz suggests that Yom Kippur during the time of the Beit HaMikdash, was mostly focused on the Kohen Gadol and his avoda, service. Perhaps it is not mentioned here because there was not much to do beyond fasting, for which they seem not to have needed to be reminded. What Torah did they learn on the second day of Rosh Hashanah? None other than the laws of Sukkot. They proceeded to gather a somewhat strange array of greenery, some familiar to us from the Arba Minim, the four species, and others not, as we read in Pasuk Tetvav. V'asher yashmiu v'aviru kol b'chol areihem u'v'yushalayim lemor, tzu'u hahar v'haviu alei zayit v'alei etz shemen v'alei hadas v'alei tmarim v'alei etz avot lasot Sukkot kakatuv. And that they should announce and proclaim in all their cities and in Yerushalayim, saying, "Go out to the mountain and bring olive leaves and leaves of oil trees, myrtle leaves, date palm leaves, and leaves of plaited trees to make booths as it is written." Mitzutat David explains that the plants mentioned, which are not part of the Arba Minim, were gathered for schach to cover the sukkah. Nehemiah then tells us they all built their sukkot for the holiday, after which we are told a shocking piece of information in Pasuk Yud Zayin. V'yasu kol hakal hashavim min hashvi sukkot v'yishvu b'sukkot ki lo asu mimei Yeshua ben Nun ken b'nei Yisrael ad hayom ha'u v'ti simcha gedola me'od. and all the congregation of the returnees from the captivity made booths and dwelt in the booths, for they had not done so from the days of Yeshua, the son of Nun, until that day, and there was exceedingly great joy. What does it mean that they had not built Sukkot since the days of Yeshua? And why is he not called Yehoshua? The Gemara in Arachim 32b offers two intriguing explanations after expressing shock at the pasuk. Now, is it possible that King David came and the Jews in his time and all subsequent generations did not make Sukkot until Ezra came? Rather, when the verse states, for since the days of Yehoshua, it means to compare their arrival in Eretz Yisrael in the days of Ezra to their arrival in the days of Yehoshua. Just as with regard to their arrival in the days of Yehoshua, they counted sabbatical years and jubilee years, and they sanctified walled cities, so too with regard to their arrival in the days of Ezra, they counted sabbatical years and the jubilee years, and they sanctified walled cities. The second explanation addresses the unusual spelling of Yehoshua's name. The Gemara answers that when the verse states, for since the days of Yeshua, this is not referring to actual Sukkot. Rather, the verse means that Ezra prayed for mercy with regard to the evil inclination of idol worship and nullified it, and the merit of his prayer protected them like a sukkah. The Gemara adds, and this is the reason the verse criticizes Joshua for not praying for the removal of this inclination himself. How is this criticism indicated in the verse? As in every other place in the Bible, his name is written as Yehoshua, and here it is written Yeshua. Today, this pasuk has gone viral for one of the most historic and jubilant events in modern Jewish history. Days before I recorded this summary, all 20 living hostages, our own returnees from captivity, returned to the land of Israel just in time to celebrate the last day of Sukkot, almost 2,500 years to the day after the exceedingly joyous Sukkot Nehemiah writes about. I dare say that the elation of Klal Yisrael at the end of Sukkot 5786 surpassed the joy described in our pasuk and the joy at the time of Yehoshua. Our parak ends with the Jews keeping the rest of Sukkot and Shmini Atzeret with readings from the Torah on each day. In the next parak, we will see how the Jewish people continue to strengthen their commitment to Torah and mitzvot. As we, Be'ezrat Hashem, cautiously embark on more peaceful times, we have many things to learn from this parak. Our ancestors were able to unite on their dangerous mission to build the wall and clearly thirsted for Torah and to observe the mitzvot properly. May we also see an increased unity among our people, a genuine desire for Torah and mitzvot, and the emergence of great leaders to inspire us, as Ezra and Nehemiah inspired the people in their day.
This shiur is dedicated Lezecher Nishmas Marcy Stern, Mincha Yehudas Bas Gedalyahu. She was a dedicated teacher whose deep love of the Sifrei Nevi'im and Shivas Tzion left an indelible mark on her many students.